Good morning. So turn to somebody and tell them, I'm glad you made it. That's a good one. I'm glad you made it. See, when you make it, right? When you make it, when you put forth that extra effort, God always gives us the extra blessings. So you made it to your good. Well, several centuries ago, the Emperor of Japan commissioned an artist to paint a particular species of bird. He loved this species, and he wanted to have an exquisite painting. Well, months passed by, and years passed by, and nothing came from the artist. And finally, the emperor went personally to the artist's studio to ask for an explanation. And the artist immediately then set out a blank canvas and put it on an easel. And within 15 minutes, he had completed a painting of a bird, and it was a masterpiece. It was exquisite, fine details in every phase of that painting. And the emperor was just overtaken. He admired both the painting plus the artist's skill and ability to produce a masterpiece in those 15 minutes. And then he said to the artist, well, why had it taken him so long to do this? And the artist didn't say anything, but he went from cabinet to cabinet in his studio, and he began to pull armloads of drawings. There were drawings of feathers, drawings of just tendons, drawings of wings, drawings of feet, drawings of claws, drawings of eyes, drawings of beaks, drawings of every aspect of a bird, from every conceivable angle that you could imagine. And he took all of these drawings and he simply placed them before the emperor, and he didn't say a word. And the emperor looked at all of that and he just simply nodded in complete understanding. You see, the magnificence of any whole can never be greater than the magnificence of a singular detail. That artist worked on every phase before he sat down, so that when he imbued it in his whole being, all what claws looked like, the feathers, and just drew for years and years. But when he sat to finally paint, he could paint a masterpiece in 15 minutes. But did it really take him 15 minutes? No, it took him longer. But once he owned that, right? Once he had put all of that into his mind's eye and drew it, that he could sit down and then create a masterpiece. You see, it's the little things in life that determine the big things in life. It's our attention to all the little details that will determine what will be the quality of the big things that come. We center a lot of our time and attention on the big things, thinking about the big things, but it's the little things that get you to the big things, right? To perhaps maybe have a life of excellence, an excellent life. We all want an excellent life, don't you? I do. I want an excellent life. Well, to have an excellent life, we should be striving for an excellent year. And within that year, we should be striving for an excellent month. And within that month, we should strive for an excellent day. And within that day, we should strive for an excellent hour. You see, an excellent life is the sum total of many, many excellent moments. It's what we do moment to moment, moment to moment, that in the end will determine the quality of our lives. It's what we do moment to moment. Every moment is vital and important to your life. Because you see, there are no idle moments. There, even when we are sleeping, that is not an idle activity. That is building rest in the body. That is building strength in the body. When we are thinking, there are no idle thoughts. Every thought has a consequence, has an effect, has a purpose. And so whatever we do, we are building our life moment by moment by moment. It's been said that what you think about all day long is what you become, right? You become what you think about all day long. And that's true. And I would also add that You are perhaps what you think and feel moment to moment, not just all day long, moment to moment. Where are you spending your time? What is occupying most of your thought process? Sometimes we're not even, most of the time, we're not aware of it. We just think habitually. But if you stop and you listen to what is coming out of your mouth, what thoughts are entering into your mind on a consistent basis, you will see that it relates to the quality of your day, relates to the quality of your sense of self, the quality of your life. You've often heard me say, and this is one of Unity's basic tenets, that life is consciousness. You've heard that, right? It's true. Life is consciousness, meaning that your life is the sum total, like all those little drawings, editor, an exquisite masterpiece. Life is consciousness means that your life is the sum total of all of your thoughts and your feelings and your attitudes, your beliefs, every word that you utter, not just some words, not just the sweet affirmations, not just your prayers, but every word that you utter, every thought that you think, right, is building your life. It is building the quality of your life. And so if your words and your thoughts are inconsistent, if they are at odds with one another, if they are laden with negativity and limitation, if they are at odds with your own inner desires, then your life and your expression will be likewise. It'll be scattered, weak, and ineffective. And then you'll be going, why me? Why my life? Why is it like this? You see, strength and mastery, that's what we want. We don't want to be ineffective. We want strength and mastery. And that comes from your ability to harness all of the thoughts and the words and the feelings and the beliefs and the deeds and the actions and the attitudes and the values, to harness all of them and to bring them into alignment with the truth. And then when you bring them into alignment, to begin to learn how to hold them there, to hold those thoughts. You see, because we don't have any challenge or problem saying an affirmation, do we? We say an affirmation every Sunday. I have you say an affirmation and you all affirm it. And in that moment, I believe you really feel it and you believe it, right? And then when you go out the door, something else may take place. Maybe before you even get out the door, right? We see, we don't have any problem in saying an affirmation or any problem feeling the joy of a moment or maybe any problem thinking a positive thought for a moment. We can all do this. But the challenge comes in our ability to hold on to that thought, to hold on to those feelings of joy after the event is long gone. Can you sustain the thoughts and the feelings? We know we can hold it. We know we can say it. But can we sustain it? Because you see, it's in the sustaining and in the holding that you build your consciousness of it. Not just what fleetingly runs in and out, but what dwells in you, what you're able to really, really lay hold of. That's what builds your consciousness. And you see, once you have the consciousness of something, then you have it, you own it, it's yours. And you can produce that feeling of joy, you can sustain it, you can live in it, you can dwell in it, because it's your consciousness, you own it, you can have it again and again. Consciousness is built thought by thought by thought. Someone said to me, well, how do I get a spiritual consciousness? Thought by thought by thought, feeling by feeling. And are they consistent? A prosperity consciousness is built by thinking prospering thoughts. But consistently, a health consciousness, a consciousness of wholeness and healing is built by thinking thoughts of health and wholeness. But consistently, see, you can't say, well, I prayed a prayer. I thought, you know, I said an affirmation. But were you consistent? Were you able to maintain that? You can say, I am prosperous. Stretton Smith has us say that in our 14 prosperity class 100 times a day. Because he knows that if you just say, I am prosperous a few times, and you, by the time you go to the restaurant or go to the store or go home or look in your wallet or whatever, you have denied that I am prosperous thought, right? You got to be able to hold it. Say it until it becomes a deeper part of your reality. Because see, when we say things just glibly, and we don't own it, when the tests and the trials come, what you really think, your secondary thoughts, are the ones that really come up. So you say your prayer, but what is it that you do after you've said your prayer? What are you thinking? What are you feeling? Someone mentioned to me, we have a wonderful class that's going on, And they were bringing up, well, you know, I'm not sure about my guidance. I prayed a prayer. It seems like I get it, and then something else happens. And I said, you know what? I'm never worried about what prayer the person is praying. I'm always thinking what's behind it. I want to hear what your thoughts and your feelings and your attitudes are behind after you have prayed. Because that's the most important part. That's what you really believe. So you can, oh, God, yes, I believe. God is magnificent in the universe, and I am one with the universe. You know, you can espouse all of that, right? And then when the challenge comes, what you really believe will come through. But, oh, God, I can't do this. Oh, this is da-da-da-da-da. All of that. Secondary thoughts are very, very vital and important. And they speak to your true consciousness and the level of your belief. So consciousness then is built thought by thought. We want to be able to hold it. Because when you can dwell in that and you can hold it and you can repeat it, what you do is holding a thought, you gain more energy. The more you can think a thought, 100 times, 200, 300, 400, 500 times a day, you know, it may seem like a rote activity, but after a while it begins to seep into your subconscious mind. And then when you think, the more you think a thought, the more energy is built around that thought, the more substance starts to gather around that thought, until all of a sudden that thought begins to burst forth into manifestation. It has to. And it works whether you're thinking a negative thought or a positive thought, okay? So if you think of those negative little things, those little slips of the tongue, right? Those little, oh, I was just kidding, you know? Oh, I didn't really mean that. All those little thoughts accumulate into a big effect in your life. And so all of that then has to do with what are you dealing with in your life? You see, your job is to hold it in mind, hold it in your word, hold it in deed, hold it together in all the areas. Not just on Sunday, not just when you're singing, hold it in all areas. Make everything consistent. Is your word consistent with your thought? Is your thought consistent with your heart's desire? Is there integrity? Is there alignment with what's going on? If it's not, if it's inconsistent, then that's what you're going to get, a mixed up life, a mixed up experience. And so we have to learn to hold it. Hold it in mind, word, and thought until it's due season. Until it manifests in due season. And everything, friend, has its due season. Everything comes about in due time. We don't have to worry about it. Your job is to hold it, right? To hold that truth and refuse to see anything other than that which you desire. To refuse to see anything that is appearing to the contrary to it. To hold it in the midst of all of these challenges, in the midst of all the things that are distracting us, all of the appearances. To hold to the truth in the midst of that. And that's where it's hard. Because everything is happening around us. Lots of appearances. But if we could somehow move beyond that which is appearing or has already manifested, be it a cold, a sickness, or this, or whatever, if move beyond that which you've already created and forgive yourself and recognize that you can now recreate, you can change it, transform it, then that which you are seeking and desiring will be yours. You'll see it manifested in your life and you'll begin to draw it to you by right of consciousness. Everything we have by right of consciousness. Be it a good consciousness, a negative consciousness, whatever, it's yours because you have drawn it to you by the level of your consciousness. Because, see, for 4 years, and I know this works, for 4 years, we have been affirming our prosperity and our blessing prayer for unity of Washington, D.C. Every Sunday we say that. And whether you all are aware of it or not, we're building consciousness by affirming that every single Sunday. We're building the consciousness for what we desire. And friends, it is manifesting. It is manifesting. And things manifest in due season. Sometimes they don't. Sometimes they may come up all at once. But it's a gradual process. We have hit a point where I remember we were trying to get to the 400 mark. And I can't tell you why and when things happen. I know that they do happen. But we have come January 1st. It was after New Year's, during New Year's Eve. It was... The energy was so packed, and from then on, the place has just been packed. Even on days like today, when I can see some spaces in between there, it's still manifesting. And it may have taken us 4 years to reach this point, but that's okay because consciousness is not built overnight. You go along, and all of a sudden, you may feel like you're at a plateau. But all of a sudden, the next thing you know, you'll hit a new level. And you may stay at that level for a while, and then you hit another level. You turn around. You go from 150 to, you know, 550 in its due time. And I held to that vision. Every Sunday I would hold to that vision. I didn't know when it would happen, how it would happen. I didn't worry about when and how. That's not my business, right? My business is to hold to the vision. I don't want to get into now, when is this going to come about? God, when are you going to fill this church? God, when are you going to... That's not my concern. My job is to simply hold to the belief that it would happen and to make it a part of my consciousness. And it comes to manifestation in due season, and it has, and it will continue. I saw it when there were only 150 people sitting here. I didn't see 150 people. I saw what I desired to see, what I held every Sunday, a church full of people looking up into the balcony and every seat is taken. That's what I saw, not 150. You see, you got to learn how to move beyond appearances. Don't get stuck in just by what you see. Get immersed in that which you desire to see, to claim that for your consciousness. You see, when you do that, it'll unfold and it'll manifest in wonderful ways. And I am now working on this next project of building up a choir. I'm going to continue to see it growing and unfolding with a grand gathering of people who are dedicated to bring us the gift of and the blessing of song and of music. I'm holding to that vision. Bob and I are going to continue to hold to that vision. And it will happen because we will build the consciousness for it to happen. That's how things come about. It will happen because we're building the consciousness. Now, don't get hung up or sidetracked by what appears. It may appear that we are in a transitionary period with our choir. It may appear on some Sundays, there may be 5. It may appear on some Sundays, there may be 25. Those are just appearances, and it's temporary. See, the thing is, when you do that, I see beyond all that. There's a wonderful thing about consciousness, because there's a lot that goes on in between the time you begin to build your consciousness, to establish it, and its actual manifestation. A lot goes on between point A and point B, right? Your job is not to be concerned with what goes on in here, but to have point A and to be able to see point B, to start that, to build it, and to know that it will manifest. Because what happens is there's usually a lot of in between, a lot of tests, a lot of twists, a lot of turns, a lot of tribulations, a lot of transformation, a lot of transition, change, all of that. But these are usually turning points for us. Because this is usually the time that we usually get all mixed up. We start with the consciousness, stuff happens, we get immersed in what's happening, and the consciousness that you started off with is now disturbed and distorted and doesn't come into bear. You don't get to the manifestation because you're hung up in what's happening in between. But all that takes place to see whether you're going to get twisted, whether you're going to get turned around and bent out of shape and turned off your course, right? When it happens, you have to learn how to stay the course. You have to learn how to hold to it in the midst of those things. And when you do, you begin to deepen your faith, you begin to deepen your resolve, you begin to build your ownership of that which you desire, and you will succeed. If you build it, it will come. You remember Field of Dreams? He said, if you build it, they will come. If you build it, it will come. If you build your consciousness, it will come. And I'm not talking about building things out here first. Don't go rushing to build something out here if you haven't built it in here. If you build it in here, if you build it in here, if you build it in here, if you build it in your mind, you build it in your vision, in your sight, you build it in your heart with passion, it will manifest. But there has to be integrity. Has to be alignment. You see, things when they're aligned, it means oneness, wholeness. And this is what we're trying to do. There's a wonderful story about a man named Walt who went to take his friend Art on a drive, and Walt and Art drove out into the country about 25 miles outside of town. And while they were driving, Walt told his friend about this plan he had, a project. And Walter drove them to this open field. And while he told them about this project, he said, look, I have the money. I'm going to use all the money that I have. It's going to take all of my money, but I have the money for the main portion of my project. But I just wanted to share this with you because I want to give you first crack at being able to buy all the land around my land. Because in 5 years, you know, the land around my property is going to be worth a lot of money. And I want you to be in on that deal. And so they're standing there looking at this open field. Art's standing there and he's looking at an open field and he thought to himself, who in the world would drive 25 miles outside of town to come to this field, to this crazy project that Walter has? And so he told Walter, well, yeah, thanks, I'll think about it. And he never acted upon it. Well, of course, Walt was Walt Disney. And Art was his good friend, Art Linkletter. This is true. Art Linkletter. And of course, Walt Disney went on to build his project into a multi-million dollar project that still exceeds him even after death. And all the land around Disneyland is what? Very valuable. But you see, Art Linkletter missed out on the deal. If you build it, they will come. If you build it, it'll manifest. Inner consciousness. Walt Disney built the consciousness for his dream. And because of that, he could stand in an open field of land, right? And he could see beyond the appearance of that. He could see his dream. But Art could only see an open field 25 miles outside of town to which he thought nobody would come. That's what he saw. And consequently, that's what he received. So what are you holding in your field of dreams? You know, is your life, what are you looking at? Is your life just about seeing the reality of what's appearing? Or are you able to see beyond the appearances to what you really desire? And if by chance you can see that, some people have a vision of what they want to do, what they're trying to accomplish. If by chance you do have that vision, are you able to hold to that vision through all the comings and the goings, all the ups and the downs and the ins and the outs and the twists and the turns, the unexpected things that will come along with that, and still remain on your course? You see, when you build your consciousness, you have to be able to stay the course, to stay it inwardly no matter what. And it takes patience. It takes faith. It takes vision. If you pray for guidance and you still seem to be in the dark, hold on to the prayer for guidance, because the light will come in its due season. If you perhaps see where you want to go and all the events seem to be taking you in another direction, hold on to the inner vision and then be willing to go with the flow. Because, you see, it just may be that God is taking you on a different route, in a different direction to your good, to something bigger and better. This is why we always pray, this Lord or something better. That's the affirmation we pray in unity. This Lord or something better. Leave yourself open so you can let God do some work in there. If you build it, it will manifest. But the best way to build your life, to build your consciousness with a surety, is to build it upon God, to build it upon the truth. Jesus told his disciples very plainly in Mark 11:22. He said, have faith in God. And then the very next thing he said after that was, I tell you, verily I say unto you, if you say to this mountain, be thou removed and cast into the sea, and do not doubt in your heart, that which you believe shall come to pass. Those things that you say shall come to pass. Do you believe that you can move mountains? Yeah, most of us will say yes. And if I ask you about a challenge in your life, you'll be quickly there to tell me how, right? It's weighing you down, you can't get through it. Do you believe that you can move mountains? Literal and figurative mountains. You see, the reason why our words don't come to pass is because we doubt in our hearts. And the reason we doubt in our hearts is because we think we have to do it alone. No, I can't move a mountain by myself, but we think, oh, I have to move a mountain. I've got to move this situation out of my life. I've got to handle this situation. No, you don't. You don't do it alone. What did Jesus say? He said, have faith where? Have faith in God. You see, we think we can't do it. We doubt because we're trying to do it by ourselves. But when you have faith in God, he didn't say have faith in other people, have faith in things, have faith in God. When you do that, you begin to build a consciousness of God, an awareness of God. You begin to have your oneness aligned with God. And that's what alignment means. Starting to be one with God in me. God is with me, moving in and through me, in and through my affairs, working with me. And with God, all things are possible. But by myself, I can't do it. And so we then think, one mind, one thought. The Apostle James said this as I close. This is from James 1:2. He said, if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God that giveth to all men, all women, liberally, and he upbraideth them not, and it shall be given him. But let him ask in faith, nothing wavering. For he that wavereth is like a wave of the sea, driven with the wind and tossed. And let not that man or that woman think that he shall receive anything of the Lord. For a double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. A double-minded man, a double-minded woman is unstable. See, you can't have faith in God in one hand and then fear the economy in the other. You can't have faith in God in one hand and then feel that you are subjected to the judgments of other people. You can't have faith in God on one hand and then be discouraged about society or the state of conditions of things. That is being double-minded. And a double-minded person is tossed, James says, with the wind, tossed to and fro. And let me tell you, being double-minded will wear you out, right? Affirming your truth and thinking another thing, saying one thing and doing another thing. It's all here. And then you're tired and in a massive confusion. Double-minded, you must be single-minded. And with a mind stayed on God, having faith in God, conditioning all of your thoughts, your feelings, your attitudes to the truth of God, builds your faith, builds your consciousness, till you know that everything is in divine order. And that your highest good, which is the absolute goodness of God, will bear itself out in your life in due season, in due time. So friends, it is ours to learn to let go of any and every limiting thought, word, deed, action, attitude that does not speak to the truth about you, that does not speak to the truth about God, that does not speak to the truth about your desired good. Because when you do that, then you're going to be building a life centered in God. You'll be building a life centered in God, a consciousness established in God. And a consciousness established in God is building a life of good. So if you build it, it will come, because life is consciousness. Build it good. Build it on God. Blessings.